I know this story will come as a complete shock to many of you. When I was going through the ordination process in the Metro Boston Association of the United Church of Christ in Massachusetts, I was required to undergo a thorough psychological examination, thorough at least by the standards of the early 1990s. While I don't remember everything about that exam, I do remember the inkblot test and the perception test, along with several tests that involved, you know, answering questions, and you had to like fill in, you know, those bubbles on those test forms. And the psych evaluation also included a Myers-Briggs personality assessment. Who knows about the Myers-Briggs personality assessment? There you go, so you know what I'm talking about. It has four sections, each with opposing characteristics, introvert or extrovert, intuitive or sensing, thinking or feeling, perceiving or judging. The test results will show a range indicating sort of which of the opposing characteristics you favor, along with a sense of how strong or how weak that character is in your personality. And so here's the surprise. The strongest element of my personality was in that last category. I am a J. J for judging personality. Surprise! Surprise. I know you wouldn't ever have guessed. I might hide it so well. Judgment comes easy to me. When there's something that comes along about which I actually have no strong opinion, that's a moment to appreciate for its uniqueness. And I do notice sometimes when I tell people, I don't really care either way, and they kind of look at me like, yeah, right. but sometimes I really don't. But right, it usually is a moment that I notice. So this past week, I've been spending quite a lot of time in consideration for today's scripture passage. I've been thinking a lot about judgment, especially in regard to the strongly worded question that Paul asks, who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? And then the following clarity of his concerns and even his condemnation of judgment. On one hand, I felt like it might be a good time to choose another of today's lectionary passages to preach about, or instead maybe to hide myself somewhere. But I couldn't escape the old adage, it takes one to know one. Paul himself is not exactly shy about sharing his judgments. His letter contains a lot of very strong statements in trying to guide and to lead the fledgling groups of Christ followers. And in those letters, he shares a considerable amount of opinion and judgment. So what gives? How do we approach today's very clear language and commandment regarding judgment? Regarding judgment. And that you shouldn't do it. After all, given my now many years of experience, I can share with all sincerity and knowledge that I'm not the only one around here who's pretty good at judgment. I've found myself over the past week wrestling quite a lot with judgment. Is it all bad? Is one of my greatest talents actually my greatest liability? How do we deal with judgment? What is its place among us? And how does it inform, or not, our relationships with each other and with others? Is this all a basic live and let live mentality? We'll do things our way, they will do things their way, and that's that? Judgment, it seems to me, is a whole lot more complicated than that. And if I may be so bold, I would suggest that Paul is not so much condemning all judgment completely, as if discerning between right and wrong is something that only can be left to God. Instead, I would suggest that Paul is offering a great big stop sign of sorts, a giant pause for a moment. For within and without our community of faith, we must take care, great care, deep care, profound care, in how we deal with judgment. I believe that Paul is not merely suggesting, but emphasizing in all of the clarity that he can muster, that we must be very careful and cautious. We must be mindful and attentive to the ways through which we utilize judgment. Judgment may be a strong talent of mine, for instance, but that doesn't mean I get to use it with reckless abandon. Instead, it is something that requires caution, reflection, thoughtfulness. It must be understood through the lens of faith. Now, since he isn't here, I'm going to use Joseph to offer a little example of what I'm trying to get at. Joseph had a workshop down in Providence on Friday, and then he went to go visit Margaret at Vassarion's. That's why he isn't here today, and that's pretty convenient, because he'd be really mad at me probably if I was using him as an example. But it's a good example of what I'm trying to get at. And so Joseph, as it turns out, though we are of very differing minds on many, many issues, we are essentially the same personality type. We are both INTJs, and his J is also a very strong part of his personality. I know, big surprise. So Joseph, though, tells a really funny story about his encounter with the Myers-Briggs test. And that is that it really didn't tell him much about himself. He knew himself pretty well when he took the test. He knew the characteristics of his own personality. But what the test helped him to realize and to understand was that other people are different. This really had never occurred to him. Not everyone is an INTJ. Not everyone is going around making judgments about things and about people. Not everyone is intuitive. Not everyone values thinking over feeling. It was a revelation to him. And that's, I think, a significant piece of what Paul is trying to get at here. Not everyone is the same. And it's supposed to be that way. Not everyone engages with or encounters faith in the same way. So be careful. Be careful, people of faith, about judgment. And use caution in employing judgment as a matter of faith, as a component of your relationship with Christ, and as an element of what you are in the midst of the community of faith and in church. There are some things worth taking a stand on in faith, and there are things that are not. Know the difference. Know that there is a difference. Does it matter what people wear to church, for instance? Does it matter that one person is dressed as if they're going to a fancy restaurant? And another looks as if they've just finished a long day of working in the garden? No, it does not. Does it matter that there's some crazy person who doesn't like Louise's lemon squares? Or Bonnie's, which I must say were really very good last week. Does it matter that when lemon squares are a part of the fellowship table, that one or two are set aside for a certain someone who really likes them a lot? No, it doesn't matter. Does it matter that someone's child is a little squirmy during worship? No, it doesn't. Does it matter that there are people out in the world, though, who claim to be Christian pastors, who live in large, lavish homes and fly around in private jets? I'm going to say probably. Does it matter that people of faith spend a lot of time squabbling over minor issues when poverty, hunger, homelessness, violence and chaos are an ever-present part of the community and world in which we live. I'd be willing to say more than probably that it does matter. Paul, in his advice and guidance for a young church, makes a dramatic, significant, and important statement that continues to be a very hard reality in which to live and a thing to live out as God's people. Be careful, be attentive to the ways in which you live out judgment. And more than that, and especially be careful and attentive to ways that judgment gets in the way of what you're really supposed to be doing. And that is living out of God's love. Don't let judgment get in the way of love. Love is the guiding principle. Love is at the center. Not small, insignificant differences around what people wear or what they eat, those sorts of things. Know the difference. Know that there is a difference. And more than that, that there is a serious difference, an important one. The church is made up of many gifts and many talents. It is intended to be that way. We cannot be who we are called to be if all we do is set ourselves against others, trying to determine good or bad, God-driven or not God-driven. I'm closer to what God wants than you are. We cannot be who we are called to be if we forget to whom we are accountable and what really matters when we do stand before God. If we forget that the central word, that the central principle, that what needs to be the center of who we are is love. Love comes first. Love is at the center. Know that and make it part of who you are every single day. Remind yourself when necessary. I know I'm going to try to do that myself. Thanks be to God. Amen.